This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Actually, the third part of a two-part message. Last week I just really began on the message. I only got through one point. So today we're going to try to finish the message and then go right into communion. But we've been sharing the last couple weeks about what not to love as a Christian, what we should not love as a Christian. And then last week we began talking about what to love. Okay? What does the Bible tell us to love as a believer, as a Christian? And last week, point number one was that we, number one, love the brethren. How many remember that? Spent the whole service just talking about that, okay? Out of all the scriptures that I've been able to put together for this message, it's really more like a teaching maybe, this number one point on loving the brethren, there was the most scripture that I found. I think there's a reason for that. Okay, that God really speaks to us about loving the brethren. You know, it's important. If we can't love the brethren, love one another, how can we love those who are not part of us right now? Amen? Those of us who don't agree with us, you know, who maybe don't believe like us. You know, if we can't love those of us in the church, how can we love those outside the church? So I think it makes a lot of sense today that a lot has been written on love and loving the brethren, okay? Now, today we're going to go from point two. I got 10 different things, and they're not really things that we should love, okay? By the time I'm done with this, I hope you see that the things that we are commended or commanded to love are not per se things. Okay, or you know, an object, all right, or something that we like to do. Out of all the things that I got for you today, none of those things are that. Okay, and I believe there's a reason for that also, and it's going to be good as we review these today. So number two on what to love, all right. When you think about me as a Christian today, me as a believer, you know, God, what should be the most dear to me? What should I love the most? Well, again, these are not in any particular order, okay? They're all important, some more than others, of course. But number two is that we should love the Lord. Anybody say amen to that? Love the Lord your God. And with that, because I'm going to bring out some scriptures here, it also talks about, in that same passage we're going to turn to, in Matthew 22, it also talks about then loving your neighbor. Alright, so let's go to Matthew 22. And I'm going to try to maybe end a little bit even earlier today than normal so we can go get our stuff ready and get to the picnic and have a great time. So I'm going to try to go quick here, okay? It's hard for me to do, but I'm going to try. If I don't feel I can get through this today, we'll just go another week, okay? Instead of making it longer. So praise God. In Matthew 22, we read the scriptures from 36 to 40. These are some great scriptures. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. And you can follow on the screen also, if not in your Bible, but do both. But it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And now Jesus replies, this is the young ruler that we read about. Actually, not in this one, but there's another spot that goes with this. He's actually talking here to the scribes and the Pharisees and that. But here we read, it says that Jesus replies, he says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And he tells us how we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. I mean, that's all of you today. Amen? Your heart, your soul, your mind. Okay, there's another another passage that says your strength also. But it tells us all here, when we're dealing with love, Jesus told this one here, who was a lawyer, as a matter of fact, here. He says, you know, he's asking about commandments. And you notice he goes on to number one, say about who we should love. It's commanded today. But how many know we don't love God because He commands us? It's because we want to love Him today. Amen? We should want to love God. We should have a love for God. Not because God says, you better. Amen? Right? But we are commanded, though. We need to realize that tonight. It is a commandment. But Jesus tells him here about what we should love. We should love God. And love God with all of us, every part of us. Okay? Our heart must be in it. Amen? Our spirit and our soul, our mind, every part of us today should really love God. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, interesting here, right behind it, then he goes to this. He says, this is the first and the great commandment. But then he goes on to say, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, so you know, he's ministering to this person here, and he's talking to the Pharisees and scribes at this time, the Sadducees and all that, and they were all around at this time, and he tells them, really, in a nutshell, what we should do as a Christian today. If we just do these two things, all right, if we can just follow these two commandments, you know what, everything else would take care of itself today. He says, all the commandments that we have, these two commandments, everything is based on these two, is what he's saying here. So, first, we love God, all right? And then he comes right behind that and says, the second is just like it. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, we probably all got some work to do on that one. We got some agreement right away on that, right? We have to we're supposed to love our neighbor. Sometimes neighbors can be unloving. Amen? And I'm talking about literally a neighbor who might be living right next to you. You know, sometimes you have neighbors that are wild, you know, they live a crazy wild life, and sometimes neighbors get involved in things that are not good, and it causes you and your family to maybe go through things because maybe there's trouble on the block. I mean, I can go on to all kinds of things. But we're still supposed to, regardless, love our neighbor as ourselves. That puts another stamp on there. Amen? Love God, and then in the same sense, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Okay. Anybody love themselves here today? You're supposed to. All right? I'm going to get into that part a little bit, you know, later on this. But you notice what he says. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. So today, if you don't love yourself, we got to work on that first. Because you're God's creation. Amen? You're God's child today. You're one of His. And you know what? He loves you. And you got to love yourself too. You know, not to the place that you're puffed up and that you think you're, you know, special, more special than anybody else. That's not what we're talking about. You know, that you walk around with a chip on your shoulder, you know, nobody's like you. I'm not talking about that kind of love. You know, that's really pride and arrogancy, okay? But you should love who God has made you to be, okay? Who you are today. You're not perfect, but you should love yourself. And it says, it compares that with loving your neighbor. So there's a connection there, all right? Because your neighbor is a person just like you today. Your neighbor has faults just like you today, amen? Your neighbor does things sometimes that they shouldn't, just like we do. So if we can love our neighbor as ourselves, because we mess up sometimes, we still have to love ourselves, right? Even though we mess up, we should be able to love our neighbor too, all right? So this is important here when you look at these scriptures. Loving God first, and then in the second part of the commandments, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now let's look at just a couple scriptures dealing with these two. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And these first couple are going to be with loving the Lord. Okay? Psalm 31:23 says this, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. So we're commanded here again to love the Lord, and you notice who he says should love him, the saints. Amen? The ain'ts aren't going to love God today. It's the saints, us, all right, that are going to love God. He encourages us here to love him, the saints, me and you today, those who are part of the body of Christ. And he says, for the Lord preserves the faithful. He's going to preserve those of us who are faithful, and he plentifully rewards the proud doer. And all he's saying here is God takes care of his own. But you're supposed to love him, though. Amen? It's a good thing when you love God. All right? He's pleased with that when we love him. Okay? Another verse in the Psalms with this in mind is 145:20. Let's go there real quick. 145:20 of the book of Psalms. This kind of says what the verse we just read says. It says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Wow. But all the wicked will he destroy. So in Psalm 31, he says that we're to love him and he does preserve us. Here he says it in a little different way. He says, the Lord will preserve them that who love him. So, you know, there's benefits when we love God today. How many know that? He takes care of his own. Amen. But the wicked, he's going to destroy them one day. Amen. But not his. Not the saints. The ain'ts, but not the saints. Okay? So we're encouraged here. What do we love as a Christian? We need to love God. If we had a priority list out of these 10, of course, this is number one. Okay? Because if we can't love God, then everything else really is mediocre here. Doesn't really come up to the standard, okay? So we got to love God first, all right? Now, dealing with your neighbor too, let's look at a scripture here. In James 2:8, let's see what that says. James 2:8. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. Amen. We must fulfill the royal law. Okay? And the royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? It goes with the golden rule. Right? The golden rule is what? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen? So, we got the golden rule, but we got the royal law that we need to love our neighbor again as ourselves. If we do this, he says here, you do well. Okay? You do good if you love your neighbor as yourself. It's really important here. Pastor Rich, what should I love as a Christian? Love your brethren, love your brother, love your sister, love God, love your neighbor. Amen. Moving right along here. How about loving the Word of God today? Number four. Loving the Word of God. Anybody love the Word of God today? You should, okay? If there's anything out of these ten that is not a person, but an object, well, this is the Word of God. It's a book, of course. It's the book of God's Word unto us. That's what we should love, okay? We should love the Word of God. Let's read a couple scriptures dealing with that, and let's go back to Psalms again. Psalm 119, we read about that. In Psalms 119, there's a few scriptures here that we read about David and what David said about the Word of God, okay? This is how David felt about the Word of God today. And this is how we should feel. If we really love God, you're going to love His Word. They go hand in hand. Because this is God's voice to us. Amen. In Psalms 119:97, it says this, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, today, there's different ways we can refer to the Word of God. We can say the law. Okay? That's what David is saying here. He says, "Man, how I love thy law, Lord." Okay? He says, "It is my meditation all the day long." You know, David says, "Man, the Word of God, I think about the Word of God all the time." You know, probably what he's trying to say here in another way is, I try to do what the Word of God tells me to do all day long. Okay? Thy law, you know what? It leads me and guides me. It's my direction and my path of life every day. So I love thy law, Lord. Man, how I love it. It's my meditation all the day long. Praise God. What a confession David makes here about the law, about the Word of God. Go to verse 113 in the same chapter. Verse 113. He says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Amen? Vain thoughts. We should hate them. David hated vain thoughts. Thoughts that were not good. But he says, "Man, thy law, I do love it." Okay? The law of God. We should love the law of God. It should be special to us. A lot more special than the newspaper you read in the morning. Amen? How many read the newspaper every day? All right. There's a few. Okay? I don't read it every day, because I don't get it every day, but I get it from Wednesday to Sunday, and I usually do read some of it. I don't read all of it. I read some of it, mostly the sports section. Okay? That's what I think about all the news. All right? But I love the law, though. Amen? I love the Word. It's different than reading the newspaper or reading a book. Okay? Nothing wrong with reading a book. Reading something that is good, but hey, let's be honest here. Don't compare it to the Word of God. Okay? I love the Word of God. That's what David's saying here. This should be what we love too. Verse 119, same chapter. He says, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies." Amen. So now he uses another word instead of the law. He says, "I love your testimonies." Okay? I love your testimonies. How many know there's a lot of testimonies in here? Amen? We love the testimonies in here. We love the law. We love this word. That's what David is saying. Amen? It's kind of, he refers to the wicked, but then he goes right to the law or the Word of God. Okay? It should be how we are today. How about another verse in the same chapter, 127? He says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold." Oh my God. "Yea, above fine gold." He puts the law, the Word of God, above fine gold. He says, "I love your Word, Lord. I love your commandments even more than I would love gold." He's saying there ain't nothing that compares to the law of God. Amen? To the Word of God. Even gold doesn't compare. Okay? It don't compare. All right, it's God's Word. David says, "Man, I love your commandments, God. Nothing compares to your commandments." One more verse. Verse 163 in the same chapter. It says, "I hate and abhor lying. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." There it is again. All right? He says, I hate lying, I abhor it, I don't want to be a part of it, but Lord, what I love is your law. Amen. I love your word. Praise God. So today, as a Christian, what should we love? The Word of God. If you don't love it, say, "Lord, help me change my desire, change my thinking." If I don't love God's word, there's a reason. You know, sometimes we may not love it because it tells us what we should be doing, and sometimes we're not doing what it tells us to do. Amen? Sometimes we do the opposite, And you know, this is a mirror to us. You know, when we read this, it's like a mirror, because if you ain't following it, it's going to hit you right between the eyes. Ooh, I got real quiet there. Praise God. Hey, let's face it, right? This is God's Word. So I pray we all really love it. Love it enough. Let me say this to you. Love it enough that you make it a practice to read it every day. Because you could say, I love it, but it's collecting dust at home. Amen? Oh, yes, Pastor, I love God's Word. It speaks to me. But how often do you read it? Right? If you love it, you're going to read it. Okay? It's a big, big connection there that we're going to understand today. All right, let me move on here. Number 5. What should we love? We should love mercy. We should love mercy. I want you to turn to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. It's right by Jonah and Nahum. Micah 6:8. You don't hear too many preachers refer to, you know, these minor prophets in the Old Testament, but there's good stuff in these books, you know, real good stuff. And in this chapter, we read about mercy, okay? It's powerful. Micah 6:8 says this, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Listen to this. He says, but to do justly and to love mercy, oh boy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What should we do? He says here, what's required of you, of the Lord, to do justly, to do what's just, and to love mercy. Praise God. We should love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Love mercy. You know, I was thinking about that a little bit. Why should I love mercy today? Well, for a couple reasons, right? Because number one, mercy's been given to me. Amen? Mercy's been given to you today. Amen? So because of that, God has been what? Merciful to me and you. We should love mercy. Mercy can mean a lot of things here today. It could mean forgiveness, right? Second chance. Amen? Now, as I relate it to me, then I should relate that to what? My brother and my sister, my neighbor, that I love mercy enough that I give it to others too. Amen? Because how many know sometimes we need mercy on us, and then we need to be able to give mercy to others too. Give someone a break. Amen? Give somebody some slack. All right? God has given us slack. Amen? Some of us more than others. Amen? So we should what? Love mercy. Love mercy. That we receive it and we give it out too. Okay? Love it. Love it. I got a couple scriptures to go with this. Go to Matthew 5:7. Matthew 5:7. I think I am going to get through this today. Praise God. I'm doing pretty good pace here. Matthew 5:7. This is the Beatitudes. All right? Sermon on the Mount here. Powerful stuff here. Look at what it says about mercy in 5:7 of Matthew. He says here, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen? So those who are merciful, they're going to then in turn receive mercy. So you should love mercy today. Amen? It should be a part of your life that you allow mercy to continually flow in your life. Okay? Not only in you, but through you to others. Okay? We're blessed if we're merciful. Because God is merciful. It's an attribute of God to be merciful today. Because God is merciful, me and you need to be merciful. Because that reflects God to people. Amen. Praise God. How about Luke 6:36? In Luke 6:36, what does it say? There's a lot of requirements in this chapter of the spiritual life. But just this one says, Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Amen. There it is again, right? Me and you need to be merciful. We should love mercy today because our Heavenly Father is merciful. Amen? And how many know today we're to be like Dad? Right? If He's our Dad, We need to act like Him. Amen. We need to be like Him. And our God is merciful. So we should love mercy today also. I know you didn't think about that one when you were thinking about what to love. Right? A little bit of a surprise maybe. Number 6, moving along here. What should we love? Love your enemies. Ooh, it's getting harder here. Oh boy. Love your enemies, oh Lord. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Let's go there quickly. I didn't tell you they were going to get easier. Matthew 5, 43. Hey, I got to do this too. All right? I need to love just like you do. The pastors are not, you know, oh, they get a break. No. If anything, I'm expected more of me to do what I'm telling you today. Okay? So I need to what? Love my enemies. Ooh, this needs some help from above, no doubt. Right? In Matthew 5, 43 and 44, what does it say? It says, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." Ooh, who heard that? Somebody must have heard that. Somebody said that, but it wasn't true, right? He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." Oh, man. Say what? "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you." Wait a minute here, Pastor. Where are we going with this? Ouch. This needs some, you need some mercy in this one, right? You need some help. He says, "Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Wow. Who are we supposed to love? Our enemies. Oh, that's not easy. Okay? I agree. It's not easy. All right? But with the love of God, you can do it. All right? And not only can you do it, we're commanded to do it. Okay? We're supposed to do it. What am I supposed to love? I got to love my enemies. Ooh. That, you know, you need to be close to God to be able to do that today. Right? Because on your own, you won't do it. I guarantee you that. Okay? How many know it? In your own self, with the old love that you may have, that you may possess today, when somebody does you wrong and is like an enemy to you, your flesh wants to lash out right away. Okay? You don't have to even think about it. Amen? You don't have to go in the closet and pray about how to react. It just happens. Some of us, it really happens fast. Some of us have a longer fuse. Okay? So, we know how our flesh reacts. Naturally, we just, you know, want to lash out. We want to retaliate. Okay? When somebody hurts us, somebody does us wrong, when we know what? People hate us. People curse us. That's what we just read here. Right? People what? Despitefully use us. We got to love them. That's what the book says. Right? All things are possible with God. Okay? It's not easy. I never said it was easy. Okay? But we're supposed to love our enemies. Let's go to another scripture with this. Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Romans 12, 20 and 21. This kind of is good to go with what we just said. Romans 12, 20, 21. It says, "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him." No amens on that one. "If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." I mean, just think about it. When somebody is your enemy, but you feed them and you give them something to drink, it makes them think, what's going on here? Right? This person, why is this person treating me so good? Because of God in your life. Amen? It's going to heap coals of fire on them. They're going to be convicted, right? They're not going to understand why are you being so nice to them and they're your enemy. See, this is where we need to get to. It says in verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen? So when people do us evil, and again, it's not easy. I know that, all right? When they do us evil, we got to turn around and do good to them. To show them, you know what? We're not like the world. We're not going to retaliate like the world. All right? We're doing different to you than probably the average person does, because I have the love of God in my life. See? If God would ever shine, or if God could ever shine in us, what an opportunity when we deal with enemies. Okay? Because it blows them away. They don't get it. We don't get it half the times. All right? So, what do we love? It's a difficult one. One of the most difficult ones probably here is loving your enemies. Okay? I'm not saying love what they do to you. All right? I'm not saying to love or agree with the wrong they do. That's not what I said. Hear my words. Okay? Love the person. How many know an enemy can be a person? Usually it is, right? A system can be an enemy. An organization could be an enemy. Could be a lot of things. But usually people are enemies. The devil's an enemy, right? Okay? So, what do I love? You know what? If you love mercy, some of the other things we talked about already, then you can love your enemies. Because you might have been where your enemies are at today. And you know where God's taken you, right? So if you show them love, God can turn them around too and bring them to the light. So God uses us when we deal with our enemies. It's not easy. We understand that. All right, a few more here and we're going to wrap up. How about loving strangers? Loving strangers. Carmela's laughing. Praise God. That's a good thing. Go to Deuteronomy 10. There is a lot of strangers. Most people are strangers to us. It almost fits in with neighbors, because even our neighbors are strangers a lot of times, right? But a little bit different here. Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 to 19. This is pretty explicit here. I mean, it comes out in these verses. It says in verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. He's a great God and a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." Look at what he's trying to say here. Verse 18. "He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow." And look at here. "He loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." Interesting. He says he's going to give food and raiment to who? The stranger. Wow. Verse 19. "Love ye therefore the stranger." Who we're supposed to love? The stranger. Oh God, we need help. "Love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt at one time." Okay? So we were, look at it this way. We weren't back at that time when, you know, they came out of Egypt, went into the promised land. But we were strangers at one time to the kingdom of God. To the family of God. We were strangers. We were not part of that at one time. And now what? We're part of the kingdom. Amen? That was strange to us. We weren't a part of that. So what he's saying here is, you got to love those who are not part of what you do. Okay? They're not part of maybe your routine. Because somebody has shown you love before. Right? And you might have been a stranger to them. You might have not known them before. Okay? Again, what a witness here that we can see. What do we got back here? Oh, different version. "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed." Ooh, that's good. Amen? That's where he says here, he doesn't regard persons, or he doesn't take reward. Okay? He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners. There's another word for strangers. "Living among you, and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt." That's good. Okay? So we can extend that now maybe a little more when we say strangers. When we come to a different country or come to a different state, you know, we're with people we don't know that we're not have been associated with before. You feel what? Strange. You feel out of place. You know, we need to make people not feel out of place. How? By loving them. Okay? How many can can recall when maybe you moved from one place to another, and people on your block, some of them were real nice to you. They welcomed you to the community. Amen? That happened to me and my wife when we moved to South Holland. This did not happen when we moved to Burnham, Illinois. But in South Holland, our neighbors came up to us and greeted us. No, they didn't send flowers. They didn't go that far. But they came to greet us. And you know what? It surprised me. It shocked me. I wasn't used to that. Okay? But I thought that was a very nice thing to welcome me into that block, to that community. So think about that when we do that with people. We welcome them. We just show our love to them so they don't feel like a stranger anymore. People feel estranged to the kingdom. Okay? Some people want to feel estranged to the kingdom. Because how many know people think that we're goofy, some of us? Some people think we've lost a couple rocks up here. You know? I'm serious. Some people think we're just, you know, way out there. Way out there. Now, some of us may be a little out there, but but you know what I'm talking about here. Some people don't think we're normal the way we are. But you know what? That's because they don't know us yet. They got to get to know us, okay? So once they get to know us, that's what Jesus did. He was a friend to people. Amen? When he became a friend, then he could minister to them, and they were open to receive what he had to say. So we need to love strangers, okay? We need to work on that too, all right? How about number 8? Love all men. It's kind of a progression here. Love all men. So we've talked about enemies. We've talked about strangers. But now I'm going to give you a verse that says we to love all men. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 3:12. I'm almost wrapping up here. 1 Thessalonians 3. I am going to get you out early today. 3:12. Don't get used to it, though. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Okay, so we do need to. We need to love the brethren. That's what that's saying. Even more and more. But look at what he says. "And toward all men, even as we do toward you." So who are we supposed to love? All men. Everyone. There's no, like we read in the different version, there's no what? Partiality. Okay? We don't just love Pentecostals. Right? I'm just getting real here. Praise God. We should love Catholic people. Amen. We should love everyone. We make distinctions with people. We make separations. But God doesn't. You know, he tells us here, we're to love everybody. Love all men. Who do I love? You're supposed to love everybody. Okay? We don't, you know, we have to be careful that we don't divide instead of come together. All right? The world is good for that today. There's so many, what, segregations and separations and, you know, well, if you don't wear a suit, you know, you can't come to this church. You know, there are churches who are very, quote-unquote, legalistic. How many know what I'm talking about? Some churches, if the ladies don't come in with a skirt or a dress, you're not in. Okay? Now, I agree that you should dress nice and you know, when you come to church you should be presentable, but if you come in and you're wearing pants, am I going to stop you from coming to church? No, I don't think so. Okay? Yeah, years ago that's how it was. And some churches they're still like that to a point, okay? I think that's going too far. All right? That's true. That's true. I agree. So we're to follow those things, but when people come, especially if they're not saved, you know what? We got to have what we talked about earlier, some mercy. Amen? We got to show some mercy. We got to show some love. So it's important that we love all men. Okay, number 9 here. I want husbands to listen up for a second. Husbands, you are to what? Love your wives. Well, ladies are going to love me for this one now. Right? Husbands, Love your wives. Oh, where do you get that? Well, just go to Ephesians with me for a minute. This is where we're going to wrap up this message. All right, Ephesians 5. Now, just because I'm not telling the wives, you know you're supposed to love your husbands too. You know that's a given. But it comes out in the scripture for the men, okay? In Ephesians 5, 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, right? And gave himself for it. Wow. That's a big responsibility on the men here today, the husbands, okay? Because he makes a comparison here on who we're supposed to love and how, okay? Husbands, we're to love our wives just like Jesus loved the church. Meaning, Jesus did everything for the church. He went all out for the church. So husbands, that's how we're supposed to be with our wives. Even though they get on our nerves sometimes. Right? Even though we get on each other's nerves sometimes. We still love our wives. Okay? It's important today. We're supposed to love our wives. Okay? And here's the last one. I'm not going to stay on that one a whole long time. Number 10, and I've said it earlier, is you need to love yourself. Okay? You need to love who? Yourself. All right? Let's look at Ephesians 5:28. It says, now he uses men here again. He says, so ought men to love their wives, here it is, as their own bodies. Right? He says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. All right, now this just doesn't then mean husband and wives. I want you to go a step further with this. It means everybody, really. You're supposed to what? Love yourself. Okay? If you love yourself, then you can really love your wife, is what it's saying here. If you don't love yourself, you know, and you're God's creation, you're the most beautiful thing that God made, how are you going to love your wife? Right? So, we need to love ourselves. Alright? Know today that God has made you into who you are. You are special in His sight. You are the apple of His eye. Amen? Too many people don't love themselves today. Alright? It's important today. And there, you see the comparison here that he that loves his wife will love himself. Okay? And another scripture, I read this scripture to you earlier, but I'm going to go to it real quick again. In Matthew 22:39, we read this earlier, but let me go to it real quick again. Matthew 22:39 said this, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. Amen? Here it is again. So, it just don't talk about husband and wives here now. It's talking about if you love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor. Amen? But if you don't care at all about yourself, you ain't going to care about your neighbor. Let's face it. It don't make sense. Okay? So, we need to love ourselves also. Too many people today have a complex about themselves. They don't think they're good enough, you know. They're never going to make it. You know, they're the worst person in the world, you know. And all this stuff could be because of where we came from, our background, you know, education we've had. It's a lot of things that cause us to not love ourselves today. But you need to know today that God loves you first of all. Amen. And He, because you're one of His, He commends us, and He tells us to love ourselves, okay? It's very important that we love ourselves, that we do what God says, that we look at ourselves how God looks at us, amen? A lot of times we go through situations, we allow depression to come in, we allow low self-esteem to come in, and it's really us. We're doing it to ourselves. God is not putting that on us. The devil puts that stuff on us. Amen? He wants us to feel like we're worthless and we're failures. And you know what? When you feel that way, you don't love yourself today. Amen? But know with God, all things are possible. And you can do it. Okay? Look at it this way. And this is important. If you weren't worth enough to God, why would He send His Son to die for you? Amen? I mean, He gave His best for us. That's how much of value we are to God today. That's how much God loves us today. that he would send Jesus to go to the cross for you. You might say, yeah, stinking me. That's why he went, because you stink sometimes. Amen? All of us have stunk from time to time, right? In our sin. Amen? But get out of that complex, if you have that today. That you're not good enough. You know, why should I love myself? You know, because God loves you. Amen? You are somebody in God today. I wish there was others here to hear this message today that are not here. Some are not here because of they're going through this situation right now. Okay? Don't let that happen to you, church. Amen? Because the devil will put you down and make you feel like dirt if you let him. But God loves you. Praise God. And you need to love yourself too. So I hope these 10 things have been a blessing to you. And here's what I want to say as we shift gears and go to communion. If you noticed, out of these 10 different things I told us today as we studied them, that we were to love, did you notice it had nothing to do with material goods? Right? Had not a one. Okay? If you can find something in the scripture that shows me we're to love things, show me. Okay? It's okay to have things. It's okay to enjoy things. But we lose, I said this 3 weeks ago, we use the term love too flippantly today. You know, I love to golf. I said this before. I enjoy golfing. Do I really love it? I don't know if I love it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really think I love it. Do I like it? Yeah. You know, some of us might say, I love pizza. You know, you might enjoy eating and you really enjoy pizza, but do you really love pizza? Will you die for pizza? Nah. See how we use that word too loose? You know, oh, I love my car, Pastor Rich. You know what? I like my car. I enjoy my car. Do I really love it? I think going too far. Okay? We love God today. Amen. We love His Word today. And you know what? We love people today. That's what it's about. Everything else, it's all secondary. It's behind all those other things, right? But that's where we sometimes get mixed up and confused, where we begin to love things instead of really what God says we're to love. And problems happen then. You today can love money. People love money today. And that's why they work 7 days a week, because they can't get enough money. And you know what? That desire will eventually cause you to go to your grave, because you won't rest enough. Family won't be enough importance to you. Church, forget church. You don't even spend time with your family, let alone go to church, because you got to make money 24/7. See, that the love is in the wrong place today. Amen. Nothing in the Word about loving things. Okay? We love God, and we're to love people. Love one another. Praise God. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Amen. I think everybody's up from downstairs. I'm going to read you just a couple quick scriptures. Today is Communion Sunday. Amen. I'm going to ask at this time, while I read these couple verses, Brother Carlos and Brother Nick, if you would come and we can begin to distribute the sacraments here. Communion, so important, so special today. Praise God. And you can distribute them while I'm speaking. It doesn't bother me. Amen. Just receive them and hold them so that we can sing a song and then pray together at the end. In Colossians 1:14, I want to read you just a couple verses as they give out the cup and the bread. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Today my thought is about redemption. Okay? I got three verses I'm going to read to you real quick. They all have to do with being redeemed today. You and I are redeemed today. Okay? What does the scripture say to us about that? In Colossians 1:14, praise God. Let me find it here. It says this: in whom we have redemption through his blood, praise God, even the forgiveness of our sins. Today we're redeemed, okay? And what does that mean? Because I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven. Praise God. There's that word mercy again. I have mercy because of the blood of Jesus today. Amen. Anybody thankful for that today? Amen. In Titus 2:14, It says, who gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem us from all iniquity. Praise God. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God has redeemed us from iniquity today. Amen. Iniquity. He's redeemed us from iniquity. Praise God. So that we can become a people who are zealous for good works. Amen. A people who want to do what? Good works. Not iniquity anymore. See, when you get redeemed, you change today. Praise God. Amen. You might have been a person who was a wicked person, an evil person, but when God redeems you, now you do good things. Amen. You want to serve people. You want to do good for people instead of hurt people. Amen. Why? Because you've been redeemed. Amen. Redeemed from iniquity. Praise God. And now you're redeemed and you have changed. You are zealous for good works. Hallelujah. One more scripture. 1 Peter 1:18. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you have been what? Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. Today, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And that, it's not just the blood of anybody, it's the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And because of that, today we know, because it's Jesus' blood, this blood is without what? Spot and without blemish. Amen. It's perfect blood. Hallelujah. Perfect blood has been given for unperfect blood. Amen. His blood, pure. Amen. For our blood that has been tainted. Amen. Me and you are redeemed today. Praise God. If you don't feel redeemed, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, today's your day. Amen. You can go from unsaved to saved, from not walking with God to walking with God today. Amen. And you may not know it, from really you're on a path to hell, but you could be on the path to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Hoping for some amens there. I mean, that's important today. Why? Because you can be redeemed. Amen. Your life can be changed. Praise God. You can, you know, the old life can die and a new life can begin. If you don't know Jesus in this way, before we do this, you need to pray and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Amen. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, I believe that you died for me. Just for me, just for Rich. You died just for me, Lord. Amen. And I receive you as my Savior. You saved me from my sin. And Lord, help me from this day forth to make you Lord of my life. If you need to pray that, please do that today before we receive the bread and the juice. Okay? Because that's what He came to do. He came to redeem us. Praise God. So I'm going to have our prayer.